Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years. Consider donating to CKW's annual fund drive, on now until February the 21st. It's our yearly on-air fundraising effort that involves you pledging your support to sustain creative, independent radio in Winnipeg. You know what the options are from other radio stations. You are listening to us for a reason. You enjoy the variety of music we provide, and that we offer commentary and news outside the mainstream. Pledge now to support independent radio in Winnipeg. You can pledge today by calling 204-774-6877 between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Or you can pledge at fundrive.ckw.ca. Remember, you make Fundrive better with your donation.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words. Words.
Good morning, I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world. So good morning and welcome to the show. I hope you're having a good week so far, despite the cold. So welcome to the show, and today I have a guest together with me, one of the hosts from one of the other programs. So could I get you to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Debbie. I host Active Voice on Sundays at 2 p.m. It's really fun to be here with you and talk about books.
It's very nice to have you here as well. And I was on her show the other day on Sunday, I guess. And so we talked about music. So now we're both talking about books. So I hope you'll enjoy the show. I'll start with a little bit of news here. According to CTV, Canadian officials are considering a response after United States President Donald Trump signed executive orders imposing 25% tariffs on aluminum and steel imports for any from any country, including Canada. The new tariffs removed the exceptions that applied in 2018, while also increasing the tariffs on aluminum from 10% to 25%. And then according to Al Jazeera, more than 51 people have been killed or injured after a bus plunged into a ravine near Guatemala City, according to an official report. The bus was traveling in and out of the city when it fell off of the Puente Beliche. In response to the accident, Guatemalan President Bernardo Arevalo has declared 3 days of national mourning, while also sending the army and a disaster agency to help with the situation and rescue the victims. So that's the news. And then in events, well, first maybe check the weather here. So according to the weather from the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, it's currently minus 29 and mainly sunny. The forecast for today is, for Tuesday, February 11th, is minus 19 and sunny, and tonight, minus 29 and partly cloudy. Then for Wednesday, February 12th, minus 20 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Then overnight, minus 33 and clear. Then for Thursday, February 13th, minus 20 degrees and sunny, and overnight, minus 24 degrees with cloudy periods. Then for Friday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, minus 18 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Then overnight, minus 27 degrees and clear. So then to events. On Wednesday, February 12th, that's tomorrow, at 7 p.m. at the Grant Park McNally Robinson in the atrium, and also streaming on YouTube, there's a book launch with Warren Carew and Lorena Fontaine. And this is Elements of Indigenous Style, and that's through Brush Education. The event will feature a lively conversation between two of the book's editors, Warren Carew and Lorena Fontaine, as they delve into the creation of this updated guide and its significance in shaping culturally appropriate and ethical writing practices. So as I mentioned, it will be hosted live in the atrium of McNally Robinson and Grant Park, and it's also available as a YouTube stream. then I think last week I told you about how the David Barber Cinematheque had been closed because of problems in the building, water rain break or water damage. But it's reopened as of February 7th. But they say, please note that last-minute cancellations may occur due to ongoing art space brown water pipe repair. And it says to stay tuned for updates. But one event coming up is a book called, or not a book, a film called Dada, which is February 12th at 9 p.m. And that's about a daughter and her father driving around the perimeter of a nuclear power plant, reading books and creating seemingly harmless nonsense games. And this film invokes the erosion of language, the failure of mentorship, and the threat of the abyss. Then, assuming that the building is able to sustain this, an upcoming film is a restoration of The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. And the first show is February 14th at 7 p.m., and also at 9 p.m., then February 15th, and it goes until the 23rd. And so those are two events at Cinematheque, assuming that the brown water situation is sufficiently under control. But be sure to check the website for updates on that. And then, as we mentioned, CKUW is currently holding its annual fundraising event, Fund Drive. The funds that we raised during this time help to ensure that we can keep broadcasting high-quality shows and keep you informed and entertained. So you can donate by phone at 204-774-6877 or online through PayPal or e-transfer at funddrive@cqw.ca. And if you prefer to make a donation by check, please make it payable to CQW or WCCRS. That's for Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society. So Fund Drive will be going on the rest of this week and then next week. So if you enjoy the show here, and or if you'd like to support community radio, be sure to donate and keep things going for the radio station. And then, as you know, if you've listened to the show before, we talk a lot about books. And so I wonder if Debbie would like to talk about the book that she has here.
Oh, sure. Thanks. So the book I brought today is called Grounds for Murder. It's your traditional crime novel. But the thing that's special about it for me is that it's written by a friend of mine from Saskatchewan. And, you know, it's something she actually keeps a blog online of the creative process. So she was talking about how when she retired from teaching, she thought, write a book. Had an English major. She wrote a novel that wasn't very good about a few decades ago. So she thought she'd give it a go again and write a crime novel. And, you know, on the back, there's a blurb by Gail Bowen, a well-known crime novelist.
That's right. I read some of
the
books.
Joanne Kilbourne Shreve mysteries. And she says about this one, deftly drawn characters, compelling plot twists and turns, and a vivid, accurate account of the price rural Canadians pay to maintain their way of life. And she's really hit the nail on the head, I think, for the value for this crime novel, because it has a very different perspective than many, because it's set in rural Saskatchewan. And of course, the author knows a lot about what it's like to live in rural Saskatchewan. This is where she's from. So, that it's very, the sense of place is very strong. And in fact, it's a main sort of feature in the motivation for the murder, that people seem to be coveting the spot that the protagonist is living on. So
that would be a very interesting book. Is there any more that you can mention without giving away the...
Oh, for sure. One of the things I like is that the protagonist, it's written from the point of view of the protagonist, which I think I've done a little bit of dabbling in writing myself, not successfully in fiction, but I'm interested in point of view. And, you know, there's pros and cons about writing from the first person point of view, because everything is told from that person's through her eyes. But it is really fun getting to know her, that as Gail Bowen says, a very deftly drawn character. And so she's an older woman like me. She's a little grumpy like me. And one of the things I just recently read that I really enjoyed was that she was dining at the... dining is too fancy a word. She was having supper with the folks who were renting one of the buildings on her property in rural Saskatchewan. And they're young people, and she's a little bit critical of them. They're a little too messy and a little too disorganized for her taste. But she's there for dinner, and she says, I'm quoting, "Dessert was an apple cake made with too much whole wheat flour," end quote. So that really tells you a lot. It tells you a little bit about the character of the folks who did the cooking, and it tells you about the grumpiness of the protagonist. And that's basically one of the flaws that sort of keeps cropping up. So that's fun, reading about a not perfect protagonist.
That's right. It is very interesting. And it's interesting how an author can convey a lot without necessarily saying this character doesn't like whole wheat, but just kind of saying the meal was made with whole wheat. And
mm-hmm. Or too much whole wheat flour.
That's right.
If I were making it, I would have put a little bit more all-purpose flour in it just to make the crumb a little finer.
That's right.
So yes, so she's a bit of a critical old crank, but most of the time she's quite endearing and very easy to love. So
well, that's good. It's always good to identify with at least one of the characters in a novel.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the writing style as well, is there anything you can say about, is it very casual or very formal?
I think it's done in the grand tradition of sort of crime novels. So there's a lot of... there's a lot of building suspense, a lot of twists and turns in the plot. A lot of the action happens through dialogue, and the dialogue is for the most part quite natural. And one of the things that you can do through dialogue is that the characters can come through, you know, with different voices, and that's certainly true.
So I guess the vocabulary they use and whether they interrupt people or all kinds of things can show something about the character.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. In terms of writing style, I found it very interesting that Dracula by Bram Stoker is written in letters. So letters from the main character to various other people. And so it isn't narrated in the usual way, but the person tells the story through letters that he's writing to about events that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one style that people can use.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So I should just say that this book is available through McNally Robinson. If you're looking for a local bookstore, it's by Betty Turnier Daniels is the author, called Grounds for Murder. And she is actually writing a second. So she actually has a Jeannie Wolfert Lang mystery. So she's planning clearly a series. And this was just published recently, but she's I think, working on this... on the second draft of her follow-up novel. So, and it's published by ECUW Press. You can find it ECUWPress.com. So,
well, that sounds like a very interesting book. And one of the books that I chose to talk about today is very different. It's nonfiction, and it's about some artists, Sybil Andrews and Cyril Power. And it's called Sybil and Cyril, Cutting Through Time, by Jenny Uglow, UGLOW. And it's by Faber and Faber, and it's 416 pages. And the title, Cutting Through Time, is kind of a pun because these two artists worked with linocut, which is where you take linoleum, hard word to say, and carve out designs in it. I hadn't even realized that was a thing until I read this book. But these two people... Sybil was quite a bit younger than Cyril, but they became colleagues and partners in the work, and they eventually married. So they became prominent for the style of art which uses linoleum as a surface for making images in relief, and is often stamped with intricate designs and bright colors. And so eventually Sybil moved to Canada, and that's kind of the connection with Canadian art. And Cyril spent his life in England, but the book uses diary entries and other sources, including numerous examples of the two artists' work. And so the author shows the development of the style and subject matter, while the illustrations help to show something of the unique style that these two painters developed. And the book includes occasional photographs of places the artists visited or people in their lives, and so that gives a sense of context to the book. So have you ever seen Linocut or anything similar to that?
Sure. Actually, you know, like many students in our classes, I've done a few Linocuts myself. We made some Linocuts for Christmas cards one year in my family. So it's a great traditional style, but in this particular book, Sybil and Cyril, interesting that the names both have Y's and I's and L's in them.
Well, that's right, and both two-syllable names. And
So the title is really gripping and easy to remember, Sybil and Cyril. Their style is very characteristic, I think, of many of the time for doing linocuts, yeah.
I guess during the interwar years, maybe it was also a very practical decision to use linoleum, because I'm sure a lot of other materials would have been in short supply. So then, especially during the 30s, so then they could use something that everyone had, and or probably everyone had, and that was fairly easy to get their hands on. So. And you were saying earlier that you've been doing some volunteer work with Art City.
Mm-hmm, Art City is a wonderful organization here located on Broadway in the West Broadway area. Yeah.
That's right.
A good drop-in program for adults and youth to do all kinds of art.
Right. So have you done linocut through that? Or
I think they've done linocuts over the years, yes. Yes, I've certainly had an experience once or twice with them doing that too, yeah. But then sometimes there's a very easy way of doing something very similar to a linocut that doesn't require sharp tools, which can be a little bit tricky with younger kids. And that is using like the styrofoam trays that pastry products or meat comes in. And then you can draw on it with a pen, and that's a similar effect, actually.
Well, that sounds very good. It would be kind of risky to entrust a sharp object to a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old even. So,
yeah, they can do it, but it takes a little more supervision.
Well, that's right.
And teaching, yeah.
Well, that's right. And I found that this book, Sybil and Cyril, was quite good for someone like me who doesn't know a lot about art. But it explained enough that I could get an idea of what it was about. And so if you're interested in art or you want to learn more about art, it's a good way of finding out a little bit. The book includes an extensive section of notes and bibliography at the end of the book. And so you can read up on this particular type of art and or other kinds of art as well, if you're interested in that. So it's good for people with different levels of knowledge. And it's written in a way that makes it fairly accessible, so that I didn't have to stare blankly too often and think, what is the author talking about? So for people who are interested in art or who want to learn more about art, that's a good way to go. And so maybe I'll play a little bit of music, but before I do that, do you have any comments about the book or about...
Well, we should talk about the fund drive some more. So this is a really important time for our station, which is a great place to volunteer and a great place for people to learn the craft of making radio. And radio is an important part of our lives, right? It's a way to listen sometimes while you're doing something else. You might be driving in the car or washing dishes or something like that, but the radio's playing, and it's a great way to expand your horizons. And CKUW 95.9 is a wonderful radio station for local voices, right?
Well, that's right. I'm sure I would never have been able to get a show like this on one of the commercial radio stations.
Right. And a great thing about our station is not being commercial. You're not always getting ads popping up every few seconds. And you can have a longer conversation with folks. You don't necessarily have to restrict yourself to like a minute and a half.
That's right. I've sometimes had 10-minute interviews or even longer. And so that's been very nice to be able to get the whole story rather than just part of it.
So we really rely on people's support. And so for any program that you like, if you go to Fundrive, FUNDRIVE.CKUW.CA, you can see all the different incentives. If you want to donate anything more than $35, you can get various kinds of things. There's T-shirts, there's hoodies, there's toques. And there's Frisbee this year. That looks like fun. So
that's right. Or you can also get a tax receipt for that, so that later on you can get a little bit off of your taxes for donating to CQOW.
That's right. So it makes your donation not as expensive as it would be otherwise, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And depending on your tax bracket.
That's right. So that's 204-774-6877. Or CQW.ca and or fundrive.CQW.ca, or you can make out a check to WCCRS or CQW. So I hope you'll express your enjoyment of CQW and enjoy the show as well, so the rest of the show. So now I might play a little bit of music by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. And this is Flight of the Bumblebee, and it's performed by the Canadian Brass. So that was Flight of the Bumblebee by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. And some of you might have heard some other music playing there for a little bit, but a technical problem. So Flight of the Bumblebee is always kind of a humorous type of thing. But now for the last book that we're going to discuss, it's Hour of the Crab by Patricia Robertson, who's a Canadian writer. She's based in BC, but she's also been in Manitoba. I've met her in the past. So, and Hour of the Crab is a book of short stories dealing with a variety of different topics. So there's some of the stories have elements of traditional narratives, but the action is secondary to the discoveries about life and human interactions that the characters make. The stories are about all kinds of things. There's The Calligrapher's Daughter, which has an element of danger, and others are more about a quest that the characters are pursuing or an unusual experience that they are having. And in each of the stories, the characters search for answers to their questions with varied success. So there are some in Canada and North Africa, the Middle East, and the time settings range from the Middle Ages to modern days. The characters are also from many different ages and circumstances. So one of the stories is about a much delayed honeymoon. That's the story called Hour of the Crab. A woman discovers a body on the beach, and she sets out to find out who the body belongs to. And that was during the time when a lot of Syrian refugees were desperately trying to make their way here. And there's the old speech in which a girl attempts to learn an ancient language as her grandfather, the last fluent speaker of that language, carves words into the stones of his house to preserve the last remnant of that tongue. So the book is full of different kinds of stories that, with characters who have their flaws but are also very, very dedicated to what they want and have some certain types of they want to get to a certain result, and so they work with people, and it's very much about real people. So then it's a very good book if you want to find out about how people react and what types of issues they might face. So I think you had read a summary of this book. Do you have any comments on what you read?
Yeah, well, one of the things I noticed was that there's sort of three sections of short stories, and the center section is more speculative, and so it's kind of neat that it's organized in a slightly different way shows the breadth of the author's, or the scope of the author's skills, I think, in writing very different kinds of stories.
That's right, and the stories are quite easy to read in many ways, so... I had some trouble getting used to a certain format where she uses dashes instead of quotation marks, but that's just me. I'm kind of a punctuation person. But the stories are, the characters are very human and very compelling as well. So, when you're reading a book, do you find different styles, different formats in terms of punctuation distracting, or do you...
You know, sometimes... If it interrupts your getting into the world of whatever you're reading, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, sometimes that can be a little distracting. So style matters. I agree.
That's right. And I'm sure Patricia Robertson chose the style on purpose. So it's... But it's a very interesting style to use, and you might want to read this book and read some of her other books as well. She's... I believe, continuing to write, and so then you can find out what types of books she writes and read more about that, and also about artists, if you're interested in Canadian artists. Sipple and Cyril is a good book to read, and there's another book about artists that I'll probably talk about at another point. So do you have any more comments before we're getting close to the end, and Democracy Now! Is coming up next?
Right. So thanks for inviting me to join you. It's really fun to be on your show.
Thanks for being here as well. And for the listeners, don't forget about Fund Drive. And so you can donate either online or over the phone. So feel free to contact the station and donate to CQUW for Fund Drive. So thanks for listening.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
By the Yellow Dog Tavern, never participating in Burger Week. 386 Donald, closed on Sundays.
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.